Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the live stream. My name's Joe Casabona. You know that. You're here. Thanks so much for joining. We're just getting started here, so I'll give people a few minutes to kind of come in, get myself set up here, and make sure I'm going to all the destinations I expect to be going to. Looks like I am on Twitter. This is like my favorite part of the day. I just kind of go through my profiles and make sure that I am live streaming where I should be. There I am on LinkedIn, going to YouTube where I am live. And then finally, lastly, and at least leastly for me, is Twitch. I don't do a lot on Twitch, not as much as I should. I also, like, I get it. When I go to Twitch, there's like an auto live stream playing, and I hate that, but I get it. I get why. Okay. Anyway, thanks so much for being here. If you are tuning in, let me know where you're coming from. Let me know who you are, and I'll give you a little shout out on the live stream. Now, if you're new to these, I have two things that I do to help podcasters. One is my main show. It's called Streamlined Solopreneur, streamlined.fm. I have an episode every Monday, and then there's a membership associated with that, but that's not what I'm going to talk about here today. The other thing is podcast workflows, where I am creating, there's a newsletter there and articles for helping busy solopreneurs with a podcast improve their process so that they can keep producing a quality show without spending too much time on it. So my two goals there are save you time, like 10 to 12 hours per week, while also allowing you to create a good show. I think that this is a worthwhile goal and something that I have focused the last like decade of my life to. So if you are interested, you can head over to podcastworkflows.com/join and sign up for the free newsletter. Last couple things. I see people are coming in. If you are here, leave a comment. Let me know who you are, where you're coming from. And if you have any questions, I'm always happy to answer them, of course. So today we are going to talk about if you should stop doing interviews for your podcast. Now, this is kind of a hot button issue, right? Because most podcasts are interview podcasts. And sometimes when I present this idea to people, they are a little bit taken aback. They're a little hesitant because if you are not doing interviews, what kind of content are you creating? I think is the idea. And so there's kind of three areas I want to cover here for why you might not want to do interviews. One is from a content standpoint, one is from an authority standpoint, and one is from a workflows standpoint. And I should say right at the top here that I do an interview show. Streamlined Solopreneur is, at this point, predominantly an interview show. I have been trying to, well, I've been making an effort to move in the direction of more solo shows, with the caveat that I don't know that I would ever get rid of interviews for that show altogether. But, you know, never say never. I think that there's a lot of value for the mission of that podcast is to get people, help busy solopreneurs streamline their processes, right, and optimize their business. Mostly it's a very parent-focused podcast because I am a parent. And so I want to save parents who are running a solopreneur business or even like a small business time. And there are a lot of really smart people out there beyond me. And so their input and advice is welcome. That said, this has gone from a fully interview show to last year I was doing a solo episode every so often. Now I'm doing a solo episode every 4-ish episodes. and I'd like to get to 50-50. So that's my goal for Streamline Solopreneur. My other podcast, Podcast Workflows, that is a fully solo show for me. It's me talking for 15 to 20 minutes, creating a great resource for potential customers of mine, right? Potential coaching clients. And so let's kind of dive into exactly why you should consider not doing an interview podcast, right? And maybe you're still planning your show and you're thinking about it and you thought, oh yeah, it needs to be an interview show. Maybe you are several years into it and you're like, I only do interview shows. How would I even consider doing a not interview show? There's a few things that we can walk through. So I'll also point you to this page, which I'll drop in the chat, which will show up in YouTube and I think Twitch, but it's over at podcastworkflows.com/mini. It's why this is positioned as a mini podcast. I definitely need to update it a little bit, but here's where I make the main case that you should maybe focus on a solo podcast, right? A short solo podcast. So let's start with the content standpoint, right? Maybe you've been in a situation, right? I know a lot of podcasters are in this situation where they have an interview lined up and then that interview gets moved or canceled and now you don't have an episode for next week. Or you have a guest interview where there are a lot of technical issues, or it just doesn't go well. Their side of the recording is lost, or the whole recording is lost, or they go on a bunch of tangents and they don't really stay focused to the thing that you were supposed to talk about. I've had guests like that where I had them, I've had people on. And I wanted to talk about a specific topic for my audience, and they just kind of started promoting their own stuff a lot. And then you're in a hard situation there because you're like, well, I just spent an hour or more talking to this person. I came here sorry, I lost my train of thought because Matt Madero's coming in here saying, I came here to say no. Good day, sir. Matt, thanks for being here. I accidentally almost clicked the ban button. But Matt's coming here to say, no, you should not stop doing interviews. And maybe that's true. Maybe I'll get there. But, you've done the interview and it wasn't very good. And now you're considering, well, what should I do with this? Is this wasted time? Is it lost to the annals of history? What do I say to the guest where I'm like, I nixed, I had to nix our podcast or our podcast recording. And there are ways around that. But the point is, a lot of things go wrong with podcast interviews or can go wrong with podcast interviews. I say this as somebody who has been doing podcast interviews for over 10 years, right? The internet connection's really bad. The guest is not using headphones, or they're using the built-in microphone, or they're calling in from their phone, or they're trying to record in a coffee shop. These are all things that have happened to me. Back in the day before Riverside was a thing, my guest forgot to record their side of the audio, and so I only had my side of the audio. There was one time where I forgot to use my mic, and I used the built-in mic, and so I ended up re-recording only my side and combining them later. So, that's not even like the content side of things. So from a content standpoint, having solo episodes can help you deliver more focused, high value content tailored to your audience's needs. Because this is the other thing, right? I vet my guests pretty well. We have a pre-interview before we record. I do some research on the front end before even inviting them onto the show. If they pitch me, I look through some of their stuff and I make sure that it would be a worthwhile recording. And to be honest, like the pre-interview in at least one instance has gone poorly enough that I said, I don't think this is going to be a good recording. And we stopped it right there, right? And that's like uncomfortable, but it's really important for me to deliver good content for my audience. And so if you have, if you're not doing interviews and you are focusing on solo shows, then you can create focused content because you understand your audience best. Your audience trusts you. And then you can kind of anticipate their needs a little more instead of leading a guest to the conclusion, right? And so that's the first thing. I think that you can create great solo content. You don't need to rely on a guest. Now, this is obviously going to rely heavily on what your podcast is about. If your podcast is about telling other people's stories, then you're going to have to do interviews, right? But if your podcast is around your area of expertise, then you can create really good shows. You don't need to bring other people on to teach them. They can learn from you. And this is the second point that I want to make, right? And maybe the strongest point, to be honest with you, is from an authority standpoint, if you started your business or your podcast to build your authority and your expertise and maybe grow your business, right? And you bring somebody else on, all the spotlight is going to them. The authority is going to them. You have to be a fairly skilled interviewer to keep the spotlight on both of you and have the conversation on both of you. And then honestly, in that instance, right, if you're trying to keep the spotlight on you, it comes off as a weak interview. Maybe the guest is upset that maybe they've wasted their time, right? And so if you are doing solo episodes, the spotlight's on you, right? There's the classic hero's journey, right, from Joseph Campbell, and Don Miller talks about it in StoryBrand, where in a story, we have the hero and we have the guide. We are not the hero. The listener is the hero, which means that when you have an interview, the interviewee, the person you're interviewing is probably the guide. They are the Obi-Wan Kenobi to your listeners, Luke Skywalker. They are the Gandalf to your listeners, Frodo, right? And if you're trying to build your own authority, you want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. I always want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. You want to be Gandalf because you want people to trust you and understand that you know what you're talking about. And if you, again, if you started your podcast to build your business and build your authority, it's a lot harder to do that with an interview. So if I take both of my shows, right, The Streamlined Solopreneur, formerly How I Built It, that was always an interview show. And I feel like I got lucky, not in the sense that like, oh, I lucked into creating really good content and being a good interviewer and generally curious, but I lucked into a different monetization model. Because I don't know how many people know this, but when I first started my podcast, this is the one I started in 2016. I had one before that. That was terrible. No offense to anybody who I did that pod. It was like me and a few friends from Scranton. We talked about things that we didn't really know much about, and we did it on Skype, and it was not very good. And it was like mostly because there was like five or six of us. And like, that's just a really hard thing to do on a podcast, especially if the moderator is especially bad. So anyway, when I started How I Built It, now Streamlined Solopreneur, my goal was to interview WordPress developers specifically around a thing that I was teaching in my online courses so that I could point people to, hey, if you are interested in learning how to use Paid Memberships Pro, I have a course on how to use Paid Memberships Pro. And the problem with that was I had way more guests than courses, and I didn't do a good job of kind of cross-promoting that. And I didn't prove to anybody that I could teach them effectively how to use those tools, right? Like, talking to the, like, my friend Jason Coleman was my first ever guest. He was great. And interviewing him does not tell the audience that I can teach them how to use Paid Memberships Pro or the Beaver Builder guys, right? Like, they were hugely helpful in promoting my course, because it was a really good course. But like, I'm confident that my podcast converted no one who didn't already know me to buy that course. And the reason I lucked into it, into a monetization model, is because other people reached out and they're like, hey, we really love what you're doing with the podcast. We'd love to sponsor it. And so I started to make money that way, through sponsorship. And then, like, I was like conflicted. Should I even promote my own stuff when sponsors are paying me? And now, of course, I feel like, yes, right? It is your, and if you feel uncomfortable, then like, have 3 sponsorship spots and use one of them for your own stuff, right? Like, maybe give your own stuff equal time to the sponsors. But I was really conflicted at that time. And, it was part of the reason that I was unable to really leverage my audience early on. And I'm doing a much better job of that now. And Streamline Solopreneur has obviously changed, right? I'm not interviewing WordPress developers anymore. I'm interviewing busy solopreneurs who are probably parents and trying to save time in their business and teaching my listeners how to save time in their business. But I am doing more solo episodes as well. That's more of a behind the scenes look at how I'm running my solopreneur business. It's not doing a really good job of showing people that I can help them with their podcast. But Streamline Solopreneur is also like, you know how people say, like, those who can't do teach? The Streamline Solopreneur is me doing, right? With a successful podcast, it's, depending on who you ask, in the top 1-4% of podcasts, right? It like routinely charts number 1 in good pods, maybe. Alex, hey, thanks for being here on hanging out on X. That's been a really fun platform for me to stream to. I feel like it really boosts the numbers, which is weird because none of my other stuff on X ever does well. But thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Anyway, Streamline Solopreneur is kind of the place for me to perfect the craft a little bit, right? Do the interviews, offer the membership, try the solo episodes, see how they resonate, and then take that information back to my coaching clients. And that's where podcast workflows comes in, right? I have a podcast called Podcast Workflows where I teach people how to create a good podcast, how to save time and improve their podcast workflows. And that is only me. Very rarely will there be an interview with another podcast expert. Not because I'm like anti that, right? And I will cross publish Streamline Solopreneur episodes over there. In fact, I'm doing one with my friend Sarah St. John, right? We had a podcast interview and she talked about her tools, and I think it would be very valuable to the Podcast Workflows audience. But that is solely for me to create a resource for people who are considering hiring me for coaching, or they're interested in being a better podcaster. And like, the best way I believe to win clients is to be really, really generous with everything that you know. And Podcast Workflows is the place for me to do that. So that is only solo episodes. Video Like a Dad, thanks for being here over on YouTube, it looks like. Thanks for tuning into the live stream. Appreciate you. If you have any questions about anything I'm talking about, definitely feel free to drop them in the chat. If you're watching on LinkedIn or X, I will periodically check over there for comments because those are not pushed to me. If you are on, well, actually, it looks like X is somehow. If you're on, so I guess if you're on X, Twitch, or YouTube, they're pushed to me. LinkedIn is not. So if you're on LinkedIn, I'll be checking periodically. So those are my two podcasts, and one is interviews, and that is sponsored all the way. And my goal there is just to create really good content and tell a good story. My goal for podcast workflows is to establish my authority and my expertise. And I don't feel like I'd be able to do that effectively if I was doing interviews and bringing on other podcast coaches or other podcast experts, because they are the expert. And again, nothing against them. A lot of my friends, right? Matt Medeiros is here. He's a well-weathered podcaster who has a wealth of experience. And I love chatting with him. But the goal of podcast workflows is to show people I know what I'm talking about, not to show people that I know people who know what they're talking about. And I hope that makes sense, right? Maybe that sounds selfish. Alex again, just moving to YouTube. Love that. YouTube is great. YouTube is definitely my favorite place to stream. It helps build my channel. Like, I do have like super chats and super stickers enabled. But it's just like it creates a nice resource for me, right? And like something else I didn't mention in this live stream, right, is that this is going to be a place where I'm kind of testing out topics for the next book I'm writing, which is tentatively called Podcast Cheat Codes. I have gotten mixed feedback on the name, mostly because like if my niche is busy solopreneur parents who have a podcast and want to save time, then it should be like clearer for them. But also, you know, busy solopreneur parents are of a certain age where we remember like the cheat code guides that you could buy for Nintendo or SNES or whatever, with all the video game like cheat codes that you could put in. And so like that's definitely like for people of a certain age, and I am of that certain age. So I really like that idea. And like probably like the tagline will be something about really who the book is for. I just read Write Useful Books. Super great. I've written 6 books before this one with the aforementioned Matt Medeiros. And, I still got a ton out of that book. So highly recommend. Neil, thanks for being here. Neil Vaglio tuning in makes perfect sense to me. We all want to lift each other when possible, but we've also got to pay bills, and you can't pay them if you're feeling icky about self-promotion amid your cross promotion. This is a really well put. Neil generally is really good at putting things in a really good way, right? Just like a very direct way. And this is true, right? If you're starting a podcast or a YouTube channel or a whatever, and you have a business, like you have to self-promote. I tell my kids all the time, like my daughter, when she wants something, she's 7. When she wants something, she will like walk up to me and sigh heavily and look at the thing she wants and then look at me and then sigh heavily again. And I go, Therese, what do you want? Like don't ask, don't get. So like, I can't start a podcast where my goal is to get more coaching clients and then do the podcast version of sighing heavily and looking at the thing and then looking back at my audience and like frowning and sighing again. I have to be like, hey, if you think this advice is good and you believe I can help you, hire me. Because if the free stuff is this good, just imagine how good the paid stuff is. So I really love that. Thanks, Neil. glad you appreciated that. And then Alex saying, wow, we got an active chat today. Really excited about this. Been pondering ways to do more audio video content to promote Siren affiliates, considering the exact format you're discussing here. This is great. Thank you, Alex. We should chat, like send me a DM, because I think this is right. This is really important. We want to, I think this is like a million years ago now in internet terms. This is like pre-pandemic, so it's like even like 400 million years ago. But in 2018, Seth Godin said that podcasting is the new blogging because podcasting, I'm paraphrasing here, is the generous act of showing up, right? And it's really easy for us to feel smarmy because we see smarmy, right? Anytime someone sends me a LinkedIn request without a message and their title is like digital marketer, I'm like, $20 says I'm going to accept this and they are going to pitch me immediately. And that's gross, right? Or the emails that you get from these people who, that one guy was like, I can increase your views up to 10 million viewers in a week or whatever. And I'm like, one is inclusive of up to 10 million, right? You didn't say 10 million. You said up to 10 million. And what anything between 1 and 999,999 is up to 10 million. So like, it's really easy to feel smarmy, but like when you are doing a podcast or a live stream like this, where you're just teaching and not really directly selling. Neil, up to 10 million, right? So it's like five. But this is the point, right? Like our BS detector is high. Everyone's BS detector is probably a little bit high, especially like depending on the niche you're in. Right. And like, Alex, you could probably testify to the fact that some people just see the word affiliate and are like skeeved out by it. Right. Like, and so showing up on a podcast or a live stream like this and being genuine and showing people that you care more about them getting some value from you than giving you some money. Is really great. And so this is what I like about podcasting. I also tell people like podcasting is the 15th date. Like social media is like the first date and podcasting is like the 15th date, right? So most people aren't just stumbling upon your podcast. And they might, right? Like you optimize, right? I'm all about like optimizing the title and the tagline and the description, so people who are looking for that type of content can find it. But nobody is like, no, most people aren't like clicking through like on a social media post saying like, hey, here's a 30-second clip from my podcast. Now go listen to the whole thing. Right? Because that's kind of like saying, you say to your friend like, hey, I'm going to just go for a walk. I just need to like stretch my legs. And they're like, why don't we run a marathon? Like, no, I just want to take a walk. I'm not ready to run a marathon. So I think that, anyway, creating good content for people and being genuine is really important. And you could do that with a solo show, right? Because you're just kind of brain dumping. The immediate pitch is so off-putting. Yeah, I don't even respond to those. I just immediately if I was like dumb enough to connect with them, I will immediately like unconnect from them, right? Because that's like, it's such an incredible waste of time. For everybody involved. Like, I can't imagine that works. It must. But, like, you know, my VA last year, like, I hired a VA for a short amount of time. She connected with me on LinkedIn, but she didn't immediately say, like, hey, do you need a VA? She was like, hey, really like your content. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Hey, we should, like, what's your VA situation like? And then I was like, hey, we should do, like, a live stream together. Like, this is really useful. And, like, it was a good fit. And like the lead time was like probably 6 months, right? And I hired her for a little while and she helped me out. And so you know, it's all about their relationships. And again, like being genuine. That's so much of what I want to prove to people that's not snake oil. Yeah, love it. Neil is saying great analogy about the marathon. Exactly why people need to be educated that TikTok is not solving podcast discovery like gurus claim. Yes, it helps. It's not the solution. Also, like TikTok knows that, right? Because like they had, you used to be able to connect your RSS feed to TikTok and then like associate a short form video with an episode, and they killed that. Like they knew that wasn't working because that's not what people wanted from TikTok, right? You know, you're not going to a gas station for sushi, probably. You know, you're going to a sushi place. And so people need to be in the right mindset if they're going to like sit down and listen to you for 20 minutes or a half hour. Oh yes, they know. So I think that being genuine, showing up in the right places is really important. And yes, like use your podcast on social media to share genuine things from, like, I always tell people, like, a short form clip that's like a teaser for the episode is not the way to go, right? Like, find a complete thought and then like maybe get people onto your mailing list, right? Because that there they'll be closer. Like, if I'm gonna overdo this analogy, like this is like, I'm really good at coming up with analogies, but then like I definitely overdo them. The newsletter is like training for the marathon, right? It's like people find you on social media. It's really easy for them to click and just sign up for your newsletter. That takes a few seconds, and then they can go back to doom scrolling or whatever they were doing, right? And then you are in their inbox, and you can say, hey, I have a new like, you're on this mailing list because you want to learn X, Y, and Z. I just did a podcast episode about X, Y, and Z. Check it out or subscribe, right? Like you want to push people incrementally towards your podcast. That's why I say it's the 15th date and not the first, right? You're not asking for the marriage proposal on the first date, probably, unless you're Ted Mosby. Yeah, but like, you know, if they're on your mailing list and they see, oh, like maybe I should check this podcast out. Oh, I'm going on a car ride, right? Like I'm going to be in the car for an hour or two, and I want something to listen to. Maybe I'll check out this podcast, right? My friend Chanel Basilio was on. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. I know it's like probably later for you, right? If you are where I think you are. So thanks so much for being here and for your input. Always, always appreciated. My friend Chanel Basilio was on Jay Klaus's podcast today with my other friend Becky and Becky Davidson. BPD is what I usually call her, but a lot of people call her, I guess. And Chanel said that she got some really interesting insights from readers that she does these amazing, like if you haven't seen Growth in Reverse, like growthinreverse.com, check it out. She reverse engineers how people grew their mailing list and like the things that work. And they are very long, like thousands of words. And they're all really well done, right? And she got feedback from readers that like, hey, I love your newsletter. I usually end up reading them all in one sitting, like once a month. Like they just binge her content, right? Because they get the email on Sunday and maybe they're not ready to read that on Sunday, right? They're not going to stop what they're doing to read that, but they want to read it. And so they pocket it for when they're ready, right? Pocket, not the service, but like put it somewhere safe for them to read later is what I mean. I guess maybe that's where the name came from. But so your podcast is the same way, right? Your listeners need to be in the right mindset. They need to be ready for it. Okay, so I've gotten a little bit off the rails here, but this was really good. Thanks to everybody showing up in the chat. I really appreciate it. Great conversation happening today. Always, always good. When there's like crickets in the live stream, it feels like I'm just like kind of like yelling down a hallway in an empty school, I guess. But so thank you everybody for the fantastic chat. Okay, so talked a little bit. Growth in Reverse, Alex, what was that website? I'm going to type it in. Actually, here, I'll bring it up on the big screen. So y'all can see it. Growthinreverse.com. And I will maybe be better about going to a not 404 site, like typing it better. Okay, there we go. So it is Growth in Reverse. This is my friend Chanel. She's great. Huge fan of her work. Also lives relatively close, so we get to hang out off, you know, every so often. So big fan of this newsletter. Chanel does great work. And like, also, she helps me. She's going to help me make this point, right? Because her newsletter grew really quickly in a very short amount of time because she was doing deep research, or is, she still does, doing deep research, creating great content, generously showing up. And now she has people asking her, like, hey, will you audit my newsletter? Hey, do you have a community where I can meet other people who are trying to grow their newsletter? Do you have a course where I can learn from you? And you know, she started the newsletter because she was curious and she decided to share what she was learning. And she just gave her first main stage talk at Craft and Commerce that last week because she's been generously sharing. So, newsletter is her medium. For some people, I fully believe in podcasting. That's definitely my medium. I obviously talk a lot. I write a lot, but I talk a lot. And so generously share is maybe the, right. I mean, the name of this live stream is like, should you stop doing podcast interviews? Because that's like a question and it's a little bit inflammatory and hopefully it got some of you here to learn some good stuff. But like if you follow like Betteridge's law of headlines, right? The answer, as Matt said earlier, is usually no when the headline is that, because if it's a question, then it's open-ended, right? If I fully believed you should stop doing podcast interviews, is what it would be called. But I think there's a lot of reasons to not do podcast interviews or not only do podcast interviews. So especially if you're trying to create content to establish your authority, a solo podcast is better. That doesn't mean you can never have guests, but your focus should be on how can I best teach what I know to my potential audience? And that brings me to the last point here that I have prepared, which is the workflow standpoint, right? When I put out a poll or a survey to my audience, I should probably bring this stuff up, but I was a little bit surprised at the results because I thought for sure, for the question, like, where do you feel you spend the most time? The answer was going to be editing, but it seems like the people on my list are either not editing, which everybody should edit your podcast. They're either not editing or they've already, like that's something that they've already, outsourced. Right. And so, planning the content, coming up with content showed up a lot. And I get it, right? If you're doing interviews, you want to vet. You don't want to just have any schmuck who's like, I can come on your podcast. I had someone pitch me one time and they're like, hey, I want to come on your podcast and talk about my conference. And it has to be, our interview has to be out by July 1st. And I'm like, cool. What you're talking about is a sponsorship. You want me to talk about a specific thing for a specific amount of time. That's a sponsorship. If your conference was about, you know, how to better use your iPhone or something, I don't know, WWDC is on the mind, I guess, how to better use your iPhone, and you want to come and talk about like the top three things most people aren't doing with their iPhone, maybe that's a good topic, right? But just like saying like, hey, I want to talk about my conference, right? Or like, hey, my book comes out next month. Have me on to talk about your book. That's a terrible pitch. But hey, my book, I'm interviewing Katie Brinkley in a couple of months about her book called The Social Shift. But like, first of all, I pitched her, right? Because her book is great and what she talks about is great. But we're not just going to talk about her book. We're going to talk about like a specific section of her book. And then hopefully that'll get people to buy her book, right? But my point here is that you have to vet your guests. You have to do some research. If you're not doing it lazily, then you also have to come up with good questions, right? Because you don't want to, like, you don't want your guests to be on like the press junket that like movie stars are on, right? Where they just kind of sit in a room or like go from booth to booth and get like the same questions from correspondents from a bunch of different TV networks and radio shows and YouTube channels, right? You don't want them to feel that way. Because if you've ever watched like a press junket supercut, it's like lots of the same stuff. You want the interviews to feel unique and like they're delivering value specifically for your audience. And that takes a lot of work. Not to mention booking them and getting them on the call. And like, again, my friend Sarah St. John is a podcaster. And we spent 40, like there was some super weird technical issue that was affecting her microphone and her headphones, and it wouldn't record in Riverside or Squadcast. And so we ended up having to do Zoom. And then I had her use QuickTime to record her side of the audio. So that like, we didn't get like this weird compression. And she's a seasoned podcaster. Like if that had happened to one of my guests who is not a podcaster, it might've taken longer or we might've had to scrap the interview. And so there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong in interviews. There's a lot of time-consuming stuff. The editing is harder because even if you hire an editor, like you have to send them both, you know, your audio and their audio. And if it's like one file, then like the dog barking while you're talking, but they're not talking, like can't be taken out. And so there's just a lot more to consider, right? Where with this, like I just did a solo episode last night, well, yesterday evening, about time tracking that's coming out in a couple of weeks for the Streamline Solopreneur, and sent it to my editor. And I was like, super easy edit, just clean it up and send it back, right? Because like he levels my audio. You can like, I hate that you can hear my breath, like when I breathe. But like editing it out completely sounds unnatural. And whatever he does is great. Like whatever he does to like make it sound like I'm not gasping for air every time I talk, but I'm like more like naturally breathing is really good. And so send it off to him and he'll clean it up and send it back. Right. So that's like, that's a lot easier. You can control the content better and it's going to save you a ton of time. And then finally, you can batch episodes, right? Even if you're only interviewing for like 30 minutes, it's going to take more than 30 minutes, right? You're going to get on the call. You're going to chit chat and warm up a little bit. You're going to record. You might go an hour anyway, depending on how verbose your guest is. I talk a lot and I'm very like, and actually if you do like a supercut of of interviews I do, you will probably hear me say at some point, I'm sorry, I've been talking for a long time. Let's stop here. Do you have any follow-up questions, right? Like without a doubt, because they ask me something I'm really passionate about and then I go off and I would edit that down, right? I always make notes for what to edit down. Some people don't do that. You can control that with a solo episode, right? Even if you go off topic, you can stop recording or like just edit that out and then keep recording. And so it's going to be easier and then you can batch those episodes. So if you're shooting for 20 minutes, you can record two or three episodes in an hour, maybe like an hour and 10 minutes. Right. Or you can record four episodes over an hour and a half. And now you have a month's worth of content where no one canceled on you and you're not panicking at the last minute. So that's my case, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, for why you shouldn't do interviews. And again, heavy caveat, this depends on the mission statement of your show. If that, like, Conan O'Brien's podcast would be nothing without interviews, but Conan O'Brien ain't put, like, he's not trying to get hired, right? His podcast is not to help him land more clients or get more customers. His podcast is a thing that he's able to do and control without some network hiring Jay Leno instead, right? Like, without pulling out the rug from under him. Same thing with Joe Rogan, right? Like, Joe Rogan's podcast would be nothing without interviews, right? Like, he would just spend his time, I don't know, probably talking about all the comedians who steal jokes or something. That's right. I'm old school. Disliking Joe Rogan. For like that. I don't know. That just felt weird and petty, right? But if you are trying to, also, like, if you like Joe Rogan, that's fine. He's not my cup of tea. And I can't listen to his podcast in the car with my kids anyway, because he's got a potty mouth. So it really depends on the mission statement of your show. If you're like Alex, right, and you're trying to ingratiate yourself with potential customers and tell people, like, how to effectively do affiliate programs, and then, like, you could be like, by the way, like, Siren Affiliates is a really good thing, right? Like, here's why we do things differently, right? I should also, I'm making an assumption, Alex, that, like, Siren Affiliates is, like, for people who want to do affiliate programs. But maybe, like, it's a way to manage affiliates or something like that. Like, Alex is still here. I'm really sorry. If you want to give me, like, the elevator pitch, I can correct that on the record, right? But the point being, right, if you have a show and you're trying to establish your expertise, or you're trying to put out good content that helps people, you don't need to do interviews, right? If you're an outdoorsy person, you don't need to have Bear Grylls on your show. You can tell people the five most important things you learned being in the woods. Dead on, dude. Thank you. Great. So, you know, check out Siren Affiliates. I certainly will. This is really timely, actually. I just interviewed my friend Justine Gallia, also at ConvertKit, about, like, what makes a good affiliate program. And so, could be some good synergy or something else to mention. Because I'll be talking about affiliates on Streamline Solopreneur in a little bit. But that's a topic I know nothing about, and so I shouldn't have talked about it, right? That's, like, I think maybe that's the main takeaway here. Because even if you have a solo show, your topics should, or if you have a show about your expertise, you should focus in on the things that you can really help people with. And then you can always bring other people on to talk more about the things you're unfamiliar with, right? I get sponsors on my podcast. I've been doing it for a long time. I'm a sponsorship coach with Justin Moore. But when I had him on my show, this is something that I cross promoted with Podcast Workflows, because I learned a lot of what I know from him. And if your only goal right now for your podcast is to get sponsors, Justin's a better guy to go to, right? So I think that's really, important, right? There's no black and white answer, obviously, but if you are trying to put out a good podcast, trying to save yourself some time and establish your expertise and create, like, tighter content, solo shows are the way to go. I really believe that. I also feel, this is not something else I said, now I'm, like, in a soapbox a little bit, but everyone has an interview show. Everyone has an interview show. The first few podcasts were, like, white guys talking about Apple, right? And then How Stuff Works, right? But it's like a couple of people going deep on a topic. Then as remote interviews got easier, people started doing more interviews. And now they're super easy with tools like Zoom, which I don't think you should use, but like Riverside and Squadcast, super easy, right? Ecamm Live, super easy. And so that's what people are gravitating towards now. And if you have an interview show, it's easy to just be like, well, we're going to have a casual conversation, right? A casual, unedited conversation. No one wants to hear that, right? No one wants to, especially if you have a friend on. Like, I had my friend James Laws on my podcast a while ago, and we went on, I called them side quests. We went on a bunch of side quests. And I let my listeners know in the beginning, like, hey, James and I go on a lot of tangents in this episode. I put chapter markers in so you could skip over them if you want. And so the people who didn't care or maybe knew both James and me, listened to the whole thing. And the people who were just there to talk about like how it's like two older guys are trying to use TikTok, which I think is what we mostly talked about. You know, they were able to get that. So, gosh, I forgot why I started that point, but, I guess I've run out of steam here. Oh yeah. It's easy to like rest on your laurels and just say like, I'm doing an interview and we're going to have what I think is an interesting conversation. So other people surely will too. And not put a lot of effort into your episodes. When you're doing a solo show, you want to make sure you deliver, right? So I do an outline. Sometimes I fully script it. You know, like when I write an article for podcast workflows, I'll use that as the basis for a script for that episode. And now I have two pieces of content. But I find myself putting more effort into the solo shows because I don't want to do what I've done here, right? Live streams are a little bit different. This would make just like a god-awful podcast episode without heavy editing. So if I'm going to create, and I'm going to, because this is like one of the topics I want to have in my book, I'm going to create a better outline than the one I had here. I'm going to fill it out more, and it's going to be tighter, and it's going to be 20 minutes or less. And doing that gives people something that they can listen to quickly that will deliver a bunch of value for them. Okay. Thank you everybody for being here. Lots of comments, lots of great discussion. People have just joined. If you're just joining and you have a question about doing interviews or solo shows, let me know. I'll keep an eye on this and over on LinkedIn. If you're on anything but LinkedIn, it should get pushed to me. If you're on LinkedIn, I will try to figure out how the comments work there, 'cause it's, confusing sometimes. So I'm really sorry if you left a comment and I haven't heard and I haven't seen it or addressed it. I haven't seen it come up either in my notifications or in the comment section on LinkedIn. So, but yeah, I'll wait a little bit. I'll vamp a little bit. And then if questions are coming in, I'm happy to answer them. So, I'll point you to podcastworkflows.com/join again, 'cause this is the kind of stuff I talk about all the time. I'm working on a new email for the welcome sequence there. Video like a dad. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the info. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you hanging out here and watching what sometimes became very soapboxy. But anyway, I'm working on a new first email for the welcome sequence to kind of set the tone a little bit for the email, right? On Mondays, you get the latest episode of Streamline Solopreneur. But because it's a podcast-focused newsletter, there's also a behind-the-scenes section about something interesting that happened behind the scenes for that episode, right? Or something I was considering for that episode. So you'll get a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at how I am producing my 75% interview, 25% solo show podcast that is sponsored. Actually, I think I have a full deck of sponsors coming up. I sold all the inventory, which is pretty rare. And very exciting. So you'll get behind the scenes look there. Wednesdays, it's always like a little amuse-bouche to what the live stream is going to be. So that's like where the focused thoughts really come in. And then if there is a Friday newsletter, that's usually going to be longer form. You know, something about maybe one of the three things in podcasting that I do on Thursdays that come out on Fridays or something else like that. So lots of valuable stuff there, hopefully for you over at podcastworkflows.com/join. Alex, thanks for being here. I appreciate you. And everybody who tuned in, thanks so much for your comment. Junaid, thanks for being here, man. Really excited to see your name pop up. Thank you so much. I'm glad you didn't get too much of me yesterday. Junaid and I are in a mastermind together where I got some really, really great advice yesterday. So, thanks so much for being here. Okay, I think that's a good place to leave it. We are at 5 to the top of the hour, and I need a drink of water from my Streamline Solopreneur drinking vessel, but I'm not going to do that in the mic because that's gross. So thank you so much for watching. Again, head over to podcastworkflows.com/join if you want to join the mailing list. And until next time, I'll see you out there.